This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hashtag no music, no intro. We had to do it again. We had to come back. We couldn't wait till Thursday. Because you know what? We do a hashtag Saints for a podcast. The New Orleans Saints don't let us wait 4 days where we want to record. People are saying this is an emergency podcast. It's not an emergency podcast. It's just... Football's coming back. Training camp, this is the standard now. When shit's popping off, shit's happening. We gotta talk about it. But before we get into the Trevor Penning, before we get into Honey Badger being back and everything, we gotta start with it. It kind of coincides because first we're gonna talk about the whole Deshaun Watson thing. Then we're gonna talk about the whole Miami Dolphins thing. So Deshaun Watson talked about it on Monday night. Judge made their ruling. The NFL appealed it. And you said it perfectly. This is the first time, except if you're a Browns fan, like exactly like you said, everyone got Rodgers back, bro. Everyone got Rodgers back. We load the clip. Let it.
This is your time, man.
Just let it fucking go off. And I was crazy busy with work today, but just some tweets I saw, like RT'd in my timeline. It seems like the consensus is a harsher suspension's coming. Like you said, that's just going to get argued in federal court, all that. But a harsher suspension is coming from the NFL. But what I felt interesting in what I was reading today is like the thing that they really want to hit Deshaun Watson and the Browns about is they tried to be sneaky with that contract, bro. They tried to be sneaky with it. It's like, if he's suspended a year, he's only going to miss out on $1 million of like guaranteed money. And NFL is like, it sounds like they come in, they want to suspend him potentially indefinitely, which I 100% am on board with. He probably should never play football again. But that at this point, you got to take what you can get. They really want to come after him financially. Do it. I want to see it. It needs to happen. And the season starts in next month. It has to happen soon. But what are your thoughts as this ongoing fucking situation continues to unfold?
I'm just interested in the process to see how it works, man. He gotta be humble, man, and he hasn't yet, bro. Like, everything has been handed to him on a silver platter so far. His agent got to write his own contract, you know. He getting paid. Like, he's not suffering at all, man. So it's like, you got to be, you know, something gotta happen. And it's so crazy is, you know, I probably feel a little different, bro, if he just had a little contrition, man. Like, just was a little open about it and just real to be like, okay, this is what I did. This is what's messed up in my head. This is why I'm trying to fix it. Like, that goes a long way, man. But he's just like, man, like, I don't see what the problem is. I ain't do nothing wrong. He just feel like he's just getting done wrong by the process. And I'm sure, you know, he's going to feel the same way once the NFL comes down there with decision. And I'm sure the NFLPA is going to fight it and all that stuff. But, I mean, I don't really see how the federal court can overturn this.
Right.
Because, I mean, on what basis can they overturn it? I wouldn't understand.
I mean, I don't know about that, bro. So we have a Roe versus Wade. Like,
That's true.
Anything past the judge. It's funny you bring up his lack of contrition or lack of accountability, because I think a big reason why his case like hit so close to home with me is not all parents I deal with within my job are bad parents. There's some really amazing parents that I've had a pleasure working with as clients over the years, but the parents that I've had on my caseload where it's all about them being the victim. I didn't hurt my kid. I didn't molest my kid. I didn't abuse my kid. It was CPS's fault. It's everyone else's fault except the actual person that did it. And that's just the attitude and like the demeanor that he's had during the entire thing. And it's to the point where it's like, bro, this is like 22 plus women. Like this, like at this point, you are a certified sociopath. If you were just like, oh, I didn't do anything. Like you were in a massage room humping tables. Like
tables.
Like, what are we doing? Anyway, I can't talk too much about it before I get started. I just want to just quickly hit on that. Now this is getting more into Saint stuff. So this dropped yesterday? Like, today's Wednesday, bro. I'm lost. I came back from vacation and just been in a fog of what days are. So this dropped yesterday. It was in reference to Brian Flores' lawsuit against the NFL, against the Dolphins, and all that. And the NFL did their investigation. News comes out. NFL announces they stripped the Miami Dolphins of their 2023 first-round draft pick and a third-round pick in 2024. Now, Dolphins still have a first-round pick next year from one that they've acquired, but it's not theirs. So they probably were thinking that they're going to have two first-round picks next year. They wanted to maybe upgrade a quarterback. Now they have one. Essentially, NFL, in terms of the tanking and, you know, potentially getting paid to lose games, NFL essentially validated what Brian Flores was saying, but they validated it to a degree, but they also kind of kept it kind of like, I don't want to go too far in validating this dude.
they stuck in a little cheat code, like, hey, we don't, it was in jest. Like, how can you add that in there? Like, that just shows you. Game rigged, bro. That's some rigged shit, bro.
Rigged, right?
Because they know that would look good on the league as a whole.
Oh, it would just be a storm. Especially then they're now in, you know, with the betting and all that. It would just get messy. But from a Saints fans perspective, this is the Saints Twitter podcast. In January 2022, the Dolphins reached out to Don Yee, Sean Payton's agent. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton was still the coach of the Saints, bro. Still coach of the Saints. We had no clue that him potentially stepping down was even on the horizon. Had no clue. And reached out about, hey, you know, maybe come coach the Dolphins next season. You know, we've been trying to court get Tom Brady over here since 2019. You know, you wanted to bring Tom Brady in 2022. It didn't work. Like, we got to have a little thing over here, bro. All during the season. And then, this was before Sean Payton stepped down. Then they approached Sean Payton again after he stepped down. And that time they did it properly. They went through the Saints, you know, tried to get permission. Saints denied them. And someone on Twitter yesterday, excuse me for not crediting the person, they were like, oh, January 2022? Like, when did that happen? And it was a screenshot of the Miami game, bro. Like, the scoreboard of the Miami game on Monday Night Football, the Ian Book game. Like, so that was very interesting because it kind of just goes to show that obviously Sean Payton didn't step down until, what was that, March, April, whenever, I don't know. I've lost sense of time. It was before the draft. So, like, February, March, whatever it was. But his eye of not being the Saints head coach had been lingering or thought about way before that actually took place or it actually became a realization.
Exactly. Like, his agent knew. Everybody knew. I think everybody knew that it was coming to an end. You know, whether it was he'd be retired or traded or whatever, but it was coming to an end. When did Sean Payton retire? Like, when was that?
Was it February? I want to say it was in February, March. Maybe I think it was March before free agency.
That'd be February. I'm trying to think. What did we look for him at? Was it just because they were still hiring somebody when we were at the Senior Bowl? Like, they didn't have their coach solidified yet.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So
it was, it was January 25th.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, man, like football was still happening when he was getting, you know, getting flirted with by other teams. So this is crazy how Saints always in some shit, bro. Like this story, even though it's not like nothing happening to us, it's just like we gotta find a way into some kind of story.
You put one of the most iconic, you tweeted out one of the most iconic tweets couple years ago.
Saints always some shit with these Saints, man.
Still my team, though. Still
my team. And that was like 2015. What the?
That's what I'm saying. Like that felt was almost like before I became a soldier, bro.
Like there's stories I forgot about. I was like, oh, I forgot that.
Oh, that happened. Oh, interesting. Like it's always
Joe Vitt getting a home invasion and breaking his leg trying to.
That's right.
Like crazy shit. That's like.
I forgot that. Always something. Still our team, though. Still our team, though. Did it make you feel? Well, I guess from this. So we talked about like that report that came out a couple of weeks ago. At this point now, about there's being three. You know, there was three teams. It was Dolphins. It was Cowboys. It's Chargers. All kind of like, you know, looking out next year, you know, just got your eye open. You know, you got your eye open. And I think you can potentially just completely cross off the Dolphins off that list. I say that potentially, because maybe Stephen Ross doesn't care. He would be like, fuck it, like, I want a team that can win. But just the optics of Sean Payton becoming the Miami Dolphins head coach, like maybe potentially like next season, after all this had came out, would just look bad. Bad. If you're just thinking of teams that Sean Payton potentially could get traded to.
It would, but I mean, there have been crazier things. Like, you remember Bill Belichick going to the Jets for one day? Like, I don't know. He goes to the Jets for one day and just like, nah. I'm going to the Patriots. You know what I'm saying? And then they have to work out some trade after the fact. The league has to step in. It was crazy. Like, things happen. Like, crazy things happen. It could be one of those things where, yeah, like, it's kind of embarrassing or looks bad at first. But, I mean, if the Dolphins want Sean Payton, I mean, they're paying for him right now. They got to give up picks. They got to, Ross has to pay a fine, and that's before you even trade for Sean Payton. Like, they're pretty much paying for him right now, so they may as well go to home and just complete the transaction, because why do all this and you still don't get your head coach? I would just go, like, after this, I was still trying to get him, and at least you get your coach that you wanted, you know? If Tom Brady a free agent next year, like, man, just go and do it.
You know what it made me think of? Like, honestly, one of my favorite gifts is like when a dude like flies a girl in and like he don't end up getting nothing. Remember that? And like he just sitting on the edge of the bed.
Oh, and he just sitting on the edge of the bed. I still got that picture of him.
I haven't saved it on my phone, bro. It's top tier. Like that's how I imagine like the Dolphins is right now this season. Like, shit, we losing a first round pick. I can't be, even though like Stephen Ross got suspended until like October. It's just like what the fuck did I even mean? Like whatever.
Just like whatever.
$1.5 million. That's chump change to him. But let's just take a step back, bro. Like, and this is something that Greg brought up on around the NFL podcast that kind of stuck with me. And I don't get upset. I mean, I don't get upset too much about like Bounty Gate and stuff like that anymore. But can we just talk about just the wild inconsistencies in terms of disciplines that fucking teams get? Like,
oh man,
the Saints lost their head coach for a season, had a second round pick taken from them. John Gilmore couldn't play for 8 games. Like, the list goes on and on in regards to Bounty Gate. Deflate Gate, you know, Tom Brady was suspended, like, I don't remember how many games.
Four games.
Four games for Deflate. And it's just like, and like you have a team that was actively tanking. You had a owner of a team who was prior, like, tanking happens in football. Tanking happens in all sports to some degree. We saw it firsthand, bro. That Bucs Saints game, bro, they were trying to get Jameis. And now Jameis is the Saints quarterback. Tom's a flat circle. But it happens. But just how I think the NFL was aghast by just how just blatant and just steadfast Stephen Ross was about tanking, where it's just like, this is not good. Like, this is bad for, like, the league. But like I said, it's just this huge thing type terms of, like, inconsistency and swings of everything, if that makes any sense.
But shout out to Brian Flores, man, because he was like, he made sure everything was documented. Like, he was sending emails to you know, management saying, I'm not with this tanking shit. Like, he was letting them know. So, like, he left a paper trail. Like, so shout out to him, because he could smell what was coming. And he knew what was coming. He knew he was about to get canned, regardless of how successful he was. He knew he was about to get out of there. So,
man,
you know, he did the smart thing.
Man had the Nixon tapes, bro.
Tell you.
No,
but I love it, though.
Like seriously, like, it because if he never brought this up, like, none of this would have ever came up. It never came up, bro. Okay, we talked about the league. We went into a little some Saints things. Start with the big news of the day. Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu returns. So was it our boy? Was it G? Was like, does Tyrann listen to the Saints for the podcast? she came out on Dump on Tuesday morning. He was back right to the day, bro. I don't think he does.
I won't
get too much into it. Just saying, no one knows what was going on with him. It as awkward and weird and peculiar as the situation was, it's good that he's back with the team. It's huge, and we talked about it Monday night, but he's a player that takes the defense to being deep, like, good to great to, like, upper echelon elite.
Right.
With his presence being there.
Easily, man. Easily. Just his ball hawking nature, his playmaking nature. You know, he's what the defense need, man. We need somebody like that. Think about, you know, we don't like to talk about him for good reasons, but, you know, when Darren Sharper came.
Who?
2009.
Who?
Hey, I'm sorry. I got to bring his name up, man. I mean, he's a part of Saints history.
I don't like to bring him up. I know, bro.
I was watching this past weekend, man. I rewatched Saints 2009 Super Bowl. Right. I watched the America's game. I was just like, man, Sharper was.
Stop it, Ryan. Stop it, bro.
Bro, we wouldn't have won it without him.
I know, bro.
Like, I'm not trying to give him props, but it is what it is. But I think he could be that type of addition where he just gives you that extra, just that extra to make you that great. You know what I'm saying? And look, he's up in age, and he might not be perfect. He might, you know, miss a few plays here or there, but man, that dude's still like a gamer, bro. Like, that's a part of his DNA, and you can't take that out of him. So you put him in his defense with those playmakers around him, which, you know, I'm going to try to think. It's probably most talented
defense. Yes, I knew exactly what you were thinking as soon as you asked.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even close, man. I really don't.
I don't think it's close. Like, he played with a good he had that 1 year with the Texans. That was a pretty good defense, but it wasn't great. Chiefs defense had, you know, Cardinals had some okay defenses. They had, you know, PP7, but they didn't have a stacked defense like that, like the Saints do. So you put them in this, especially the secondary. That's just defense the secondary, man. Come on, man. You can't tell me this dude ain't going to ball out, bro. He ain't going to have to try to cover for everybody and this and that. They can, like, literally give him free range, man. Like you said, look, you do whatever you want to do in this little zone here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you use your instincts and get after it. You know, they can use him on the line, blitz, amazing blitzing.
You know, Dennis Allen right now just in bed, just thinking, just, ooh. You know, he probably, when he laying pipe to his wife, he's not even thinking about it. He's like, ooh, I can like get him schemed up this way. Like, do like a cross dog. Like, he is focused, like, bro.
Dennis.
What's up, Ryan?
Yo.
I'm just going to say this. I don't want you to get offended. I'm a big dude. You a big dude.
Damn.
And I know sometimes weight loss has been an issue that we both dealt with our entire lives. But I want to tell you about something that I came across about this great new company called Vertimax.
Okay.
Did you know that Vertimax is the leading sports performance and fitness equipment company that's used by half of D1 programs and half of the NFL and NBA teams? We have an NFL podcast.
Hmm.
It's used by professional leagues as well as other teams all around the world. There's the Vertimax platform, and there's a Vertimax Raptor used to help athletes improve their performance on the field for almost 3 decades. That's almost as old as you. I know we pick on him, but did you know that we pick on him in terms of his workouts? But Jameis Winston actually has trained on a Vertimax Raptor, and the King of New Orleans himself, Drew Brees, has trained on a Vertimax platform along with other top NFL and college football pro athletes. I was just scrolling on TikTok. I saw Amari Cooper using a Vertimax machine.
Wow.
We know we have a lot of listeners that have kids. They're in sports. They're in soccer, baseball, football, track and field, you name it. If you're a parent and you want to help your child improve in terms of their sports performance, or maybe you just feel like you just want to get your body right for the summer and get fit, you need to
check out summer.
You need to check out Vertimax. So all you have to do is go to Vertimax.com or follow them on social media at Vertimax. That's Vertimax. Again, that's at Vertimax, Vertimax.com. Look into getting yourself a Vertimax platform, a Vertimax Raptor, and tell me you won't see the improvement. Oh, sorry, baby. I was just thinking. But just in totality, the talent on this defense is immense. Still worried about Marcus Davenport, bro.
Oh man.
Can we talk about it? Can we talk about him?
Not him and Peyton out right now.
No, that's right. I forgot, man. Soon as we start giving them props.
Soon as we start giving them props,
they're like, "What? They mentioned me in the pod. It was good."
I'm wondering, right. did he hurt his hand when he punched Trevor Penick helmet?
Could you imagine?
He threw a nice punch, man. I was like, "Why did he do that?"
Especially to a helmet.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Oh my god. They're so key. You know, they're so key.
Huge, Ryan. They're huge. And I think when people listen to our podcast, they think like, all they do is bag. Like, we don't want to bag on Marcus Davenport. We don't want to bag on Peyton Turner. We want them to be successful and just go out and ball. Just be dogs on the field. You know how many times I think about that Marcus Davenport hit on Alex Smith, bro? I want that. And I'm not even super emotionally invested anymore. Just as a regular standard fan, I want it. Could you imagine a hit happening like that while the Saints Twitter podcast Patreons, we all watching it on Zoom, and that hit come, we like, boom! We all get amped, like, we want to experience that shit together. And it's just like, I feel like when one of them starts making progress, it's like, nah. Mm-mm. Stopping it too soon. too much at the same time.
The good news is he has been working out on the side, whatever that means. That's kind of like that, just kind of purgatory when you're on your way back. But, you know, now Peyton Turner, he's just MIA, man. Like, we don't know where he at. We don't see him. So, hey, we have no idea how long it's going to take for him to be back. So, we'll see, man.
It's annoying. It's annoying.
But let's move on. So, we recorded Monday night. There's been two practices since then. They've both been inside, inside practices. They haven't been outside. The one on Tuesday was moved in because of inclement weather. It just seems like this Paulson Adebo thing not going away, man. Like, another training camp practice, another just stellar reports, from him as a player. Was it yesterday? Yesterday we saw the Jameis touchdown to Deontay Hardy on like a big 50, 60 yard play. And like, we talked about how the offense is going to evolve and how Pete's going to use players in this offense. We may have to realize as fans, and you hit on it a little bit on Monday, I don't think it's going to completely be an offense predicated on this, but this offense may be very like big play or bust type of offense. As weird as that is to say, which it's early. It's hard to kind of live that way as an offense. Like, you kind of do need some drive. Let's keep this, this keeps the drive going type of thing. And we're not saying Jameis can't do that, but this offense is going to be a lot predicated on the big plays. And don't get me wrong, when big plays are working, bro, and the defense can't stop it, dial it up. But when you start facing a defense that can take away potentially the big player, what you want to do, it gets a little, okay, then how else are they going to move the ball down the field? Is it going to be AK? You know, can Jameis be good enough in the intermediate where it can, like, they'll be enough successful where it's not hindering them? That's going to be the big thing of how the offense is going to play out to me.
Right. And we'll see as camp goes on, because, we haven't been seeing, like, team in the red zone and third down and stuff. It's just early. And plus, I was listening to, Nick Underhill and Kevin Washington on their podcast. And, Nick was basically talking about how, it may look like from Twitter that the defense has been dominating. And they have been looking good, but like he was saying, like, the offense has been looking good, too. Like, it's just been a lot of kind of meat and butter, like meat and potatoes type stuff. A lot of throws to, Adam Trautman, 8 yards, 9 yards, 10 yards. Throws to Alvin Kamara, throws to Jarvis Landry, slants and stuff like that. Those are good things. Like, but those don't really get highlighted. They don't get highlighted on, the little Twitter reels that come out and stuff like that. So those are good things. So I think we just got to let it play out, let this offense build. Dennis Allen said today that, they're finally starting to, they're going to pretty much let Jameis go as far as like his knee, because they've been trying to, just be safe with him. But I think they feel good about him now, where he's just like, he good to go, which is crazy.
That's
insane, man. Towards ACL and Halloween, bro. Like, that's just crazy. So he's just good to go. And look, Mike Thomas, he's in teams now. He's every clip I see of Mike Thomas, he's just getting better and better, man. Like, just seeing him run.
Looking scary, bro. Looking
scary. You just feel more better. So I think the offense is gonna be fine, bro. It's just, man, it's gonna be so interesting to see what the offense can be at its peak with everybody healthy. Like, how good can they be? I don't know. Like, I just can't answer that. Like, I just don't know after what we saw last year with all the lack of playmakers we had. I can't predict what they're going to look like this year. Could they be a top 5 unit? Could they be a top 10 unit, top 15? I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know. Like, even in the preseason, we really won't know, because shit's going to be so vanilla. So it's like, I don't know, man. Like, it's gonna be one of those exciting things that we just can't wait to see, you know, once the real games start.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Sticking with the offense, we gotta have a conversation about Trevor Penning, bro. We gotta talk about
him, man. It's gonna make headlines, bro. National news.
So for first little thing, JT Gray, and you know, that was minor. That was like, okay, that's minor. Like, no big deal. Nothing. Last week, like, Peyton Turner, you know, we talked about it a little earlier in this episode. Peyton Turner take a swing at him, you know, whatever. You know, little dust up. Little dust up. It's fine. I was happy to see that side of Peyton Turner, honestly.
Yeah, really.
That's... But part of me was like, man, like, Peyton Turner going after you, like, what is going on? Like, still, like, I know we bag on him a little bit, and that, you know, not back, a little bad on him a little bit. But, like, if you're getting Peyton Turner upset, like, what's going on? And then it comes out today that he ain't getting into a fight with, like, Malcolm Roach. And it becomes, like, such a huge skirmish, you know, that Dennis Allen kicks both Roach and Trevor Penning out. And at that point, I just tweeted. I said, like, at this point, I'm getting annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm getting annoyed. So my mentions were, I won't say they're a mess, but my mentions were kind of full of people. Oh, that was no big deal. We love the aggression. It's, you know, it's better to have a player like that, that plays that way, then you have to coach up to play that way, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
But something that struck me, and this is something sometimes information is given to us as people, and if we're not perceptive enough, we'll miss it. Okay, so I'm gonna pull it up right now. I'm gonna read this tweet that Kath and Terrell tweeted out after it all happened. So I got to find it. So someone asked her a question. She said, everything happened very fast. They got into it. I didn't see that part. Then someone came and shoved Penning. And then a huge group came in and basically enveloped him. Mm. Probably at least 10 players ended up involved, but only those two got thrown out. So I'm going to just very simply use my social worker semi-detective skills and say that if 10 players on the team came at him or whatever, that tells me that this has been brewing in the locker room for a while.
Right.
Like, this isn't just an isolated thing where it's just one player. Like, 10 players, bro, that's almost an offense or a whole entire starting defensive unit that came at this dude. And so people are like, no, not the deal. Kenny Vaccaro was doing it his rookie year. Chio ad, blah, blah. Like, this is an issue. And long term, it may not be an issue. Long term, it may not mean shit. But for him to get thrown out, but whatever. But the team going, even when the whole shit with CeeDee and Mike Thomas happened, bro, like, the team didn't go, like, an entire group of a team didn't go after one single player. Like, you know, they try to break it up, but the 10 players went after one player? Like, that should tell – you should just read that, and that should tell you everything you need to know about what he's been doing in training camp. Because, like, listen, bro, I know you came from a small school, Northern Illinois. You know, you were doing this at the Senior Bowl to kind of show that you belong, and it's happened before, right? We've seen it with smaller school prospects. But at this point, it's like, you're in the fucking NFL. You're drafted 19th overall in the first round. Like, it's fine to have that mean streak against other opponents and other teams, but you're in training. Like, again, I may be blowing it up, but it just has greatly annoyed me. Like all this has happened up to this point.
No, and I agree, because he has to get to the point where he has to learn how to be a professional. Like, these players, bro, like, they ain't trying to get hurt, period, especially in training camp. They ain't trying to get hurt, man. Like, you bending players back and pushing them to the ground and all that, they're not trying to do that, man, especially the veterans, people like Malcolm Roach and all that. They're trying because you know what that is? That's that can end their career. You yes. know what I'm saying? Like, that could end their career. Like, they're not trying to go to the ground. So they just, like, chill, bro. Like, chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can compete. You can go hard and this and that and show that you, you know, your tenacity and all that. But you just got to dial it back a tad. And like I said, like, I'm fine with him being aggressive. But, bro, it's just kind of, like, okay. Like, look, he needs to learn from here on out. Like, you got kicked out of, you got kicked out of camp as a rookie. That's law of snaps. You know, law of snaps. That's you're not competing. You know what I'm saying? So you need to dial it back a tad and, you know, play to the whistle, just like they teach you to do. But all extracurricular activities, like, at some point, it just get lame. Like, at first, you get it. It's like, okay. Like, yeah, okay, he's aggressive. But when you keep on with it, it's like, okay, now you're just being lame, bro. Like, you chill out, man. You play your teammates. Ain't no reason to be doing all that. It was like with Kenny Vaccaro used to do all that. Like, at first, it was like, yeah, you know, he aggressive, but then he laying Mark Ingram out and all that. It's like, all right, bro, chill. Like,
oh, man. I low-key forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. He did.
Just laying Mark Ingram out and all that shit. It's like, you ain't got to do all that now. You know what I'm saying? We in training camp. So, we'll see, man. Like I said, I do like the physical nature and aggressiveness. But he's going to have to be a smarter player. And look, where he's going in, when he drafted him, you know, he had what the most holding calls and holding penalties, and you know, the refs hadn't been at camp yet. But when they get there, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all that stuff balances out. Not just with him, but you know, with Paulson, the Debo, and secondary, because you know they've been getting the wheel a little bit, you know, more right now. But once the refs get involved, you got to play just a little different. You know, they let a little shit slide with the reps. So it's going to be interesting how all that balances out because right now, man, like, reps are a huge part of the game. They're a huge part of winning and losing. Like, we know. We know better than anybody. They're a huge part of winning and losing. So, yeah, we just got to let the process play out, man. That's the only thing about this training camp now, bro, with Twitter and all that. Everybody has, like, just – come to conclusions every day. Like,
yes.
Conclusions like, man, this is a process, man. Like, do y'all not remember y'all tweets last year? You know, it's like you just don't know. Like, we had no cornerback outside of Marshawn Lattimore.
None.
This time last season.
We thought we was gonna get Crawley Clamps again, bro. The return.
Crawley Clamps, right? It was like you just don't know, man. You just don't know. You just got to let this thing play out. We didn't even know who the quarterback was going to be, you know?
Nope.
So it's just that time of season, man. You just got to play out. Preseason is so crucial because that answers a lot of questions. I'm so interested in running back. I really want to see how Abram Smith and Brown Kid and Zigbo and all them, I really want to see how they perform because running back is just one of the positions in preseason. Usually it translates. Not always, but usually if they're good in preseason, they'll be good in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Usually, not always. I mean, we've seen a bunch of them over the years, whether it's, you know, Chris Ivory. Remember Chris Ivory, boy?
Over
that preseason game, boy. I was like, ooh, ooh, what was this guy? You know, so I really want to see that because we need one of these running backs to step up. And you know, it's looking like Alvin Kamara, man. He gonna be here, bro.
Looking like it, bro.
Man.
Eric, in our Discord, and it's funny because in his Twitter bio, it literally just says "not blocked by Adam." But Eric J. Bird in our Discord said in our Discord, he said Penny's gonna end up being like as dirty as Ryan Jensen, and I brought all I could do was just respond to it. I just put not like this. not like this, Ryan. But when he said it, I was like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
I can kind of see it. I can kind of. Oh, and it just made me feel so gross, bro. Just, don't want it. Don't want it. Do not want it.
Hopefully he's not a dirty player.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't care if you're an offensive lineman and you're, you know, a little ultra aggressive and just want to be really dominant. Like, it's man on man. You're trying to assert your dominance. I get that. But don't, like, once you get into, like, being a like, dirty player and getting into that territory, then it's like, I don't even want to root for you at that point, man. Like, it's not my vibe. Two more things to just quickly talk about before we wrap up. Smoke Monday, undrafted safety from Auburn, had a significant leg injury. What was that? It was Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday when it happened. So yesterday. And it sucks, man. Like, something that we talked about, like, the E before training camp is like, yeah, like, good reports are great, but the, you know, the bigger thing is no injuries. Like, that's a huge thing, is no one being injured. And you could potentially say that, you know, he maybe wasn't going to make the roster, but, like, it's possible he could have made it as a special teamer. It seemed like the vet secondary players were, like, impressed by him and how he was just a study. So, had a significant knee injury, but I guess if there's any silver lining in it, you know, the Saints, if they want to, you know, can keep him around and bring him back, you know, next year and continue to develop him as he's recovering.
Yeah. And nothing's happened yet, so, you know, we'll see.
There was that. What else did I want to hit on? Sounds like Lucas Crowell Hyde might be coming down, bro. That makes me kind of sad. Like, I was. I was getting a little tired for some Lucas Crowell action, bro, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen now. He's missed.
But look, Adam Troutman's been balling, though, man.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully that sticks, bro. I really want that to stick. Because the thing is, like, with Adam Troutman, is not like if you go back and watch him, it's not like he can't run. It's not like he can't run routes. And it's not like he doesn't have athleticism. You know, it's not like when you watch him, like, man, this dude just not athletic enough. It's just these little mental farts. It's just like, whether it's just not catching the ball or he gets open, but he opens up too early and the ball goes. It's just like
they were mental
farts.
They were Dan Arnold-esque, bro.
Very Dan Arnold-esque. And see what happened with Dan Arnold. Like, he got better over his career. He's still kind of like a journeyman, but, you know, he got better. So I just hope it's just a page turning for him where he just gets it. And he just, like, bro, like, we're not asking you to be, you know, Antonio Gonzalez, whatever. Like, just be, you know, just a
The fact that you combined both Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez in the one person.
I don't know what I was thinking. Like,
you don't got to be Antonio Gonzalez.
It's late, man. Give me a break.
I know. My fault.
But it's like, you know, speed Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas 2009, boy, he was clutch, you know.
Like, just be maybe like a tad more a receiving version of Josh Hill. We good, bro.
Right.
Good.
We good. Be a more receiving version for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
man, Sean Payne used to talk up Josh Hill. I'm like, bro, I hear all that blocking and make some plays. Although,
I will say that flip to AK with Josh Hill in the edge, bro, that shit was undefeated. It was undefeated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he used to go.
But you're right. We talked about a little bit on Monday night, but training camp, but especially preseason, he's one of those other players in preseason where I'm just going to be just laser focused on watching Adam Troutman and seeing how he's doing in training camp.
And the O-line.
Oh. You know, you hit on Monday a little bit, bro. It sounds like, you know, everyone's singing Cesar Ruiz's praises. They're singing them, bro.
No, man, we gotta see. Even Big Pete was out there. Big Pete said today, he said he's made the biggest jump. Caesar Reed made the biggest jump he's seen. I don't know. I mean, it's coming from Pete, so you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
you taking it with a grain of salt?
I don't know. Who knows? But it was good looking at Big Pete, man. Look at Pete, man.
I didn't see it, but like he looking good, bro.
Looking good, man. He's trim, you know, just trim, got his little braids or whatever. Like, go ahead, Pete. Like, we need Pete, man. Need Pete to be solid.
We do. We absolutely do. One of the last big things I wanted to hit on is reported by Nick Underhill. Sound like City doing a little holding, brother.
Yeah, man.
They gotta just don't
pay me, bro. Get yours, man.
We said it on Monday, bro. Maybe City listened to that shit and was like, "Them niggas is right." Like, he heard it on Tuesday when it dropped. It was like, "Nah." It seems like Derek. And obviously, I mean, I know it's gonna sound sacrilegious to say it, but I'm gonna say it. Can I say it? Derwin James is doing the same thing for the Chargers. Doing a little hold in, whatever he expected to get the bag.
Sidney Newsom had a better career than Derwin James.
I'm just saying, like, he's been healthier. Derwin James' rookie season was absolutely phenomenal, just stellar. But Sidney Newsom has been healthier. He's made more impactful plays. I know CD's more, you know, he's kind of deemed like he's more of a slot and not a safety. But when he was drafted with the safety as his moniker. I know he wants to get paid out of the slot because slot corners get paid more. But we're just comparing apples to apples, bro. He's been a better player than Derwin James. Yuck. And I know it's the Saints Twitter podcast, so not Saints fans are going to come after me. But if you're just a general NFL fan listening, you're like, no, there's no way. Go watch the film.
Yeah.
Watch the film. CeeDee deserves it, man. CeeDee deserves every cent he hopefully gets. If I was CeeDee's agent, I would say, y'all was willing to break the bank for a sexual predator.
Right.
But y'all can't find some pennies to pay one of the best slots in the league. He's a top three slot cornerback.
Top three slot. And it's an important position. It's not like
huge.
And you know, he's a guy that started, I don't know if he started week one his rookie season, but he played a lot.
Yes.
When he gets the Texans, Deshaun Watson. I remember him crying. I don't know if he was crying on the field or something like that, but it was an emotional game for him, I remember. And you know, it was a rough game. He was up and down, but just a guy that's just been there since the start. Everybody loves him. The team loves him. Fans love him. He's addicted to football. Like, that's what you want, man. Like, you pay that guy. I know sometimes those guys like CD, you know, you get the Junior Gallette types, kind of make you a little scared or whatever, but man, you pay CD, bro. Like, pay that man, bro. Like, he ain't never let you down football wise, you know, and you know, as far as I know, off the field, he hasn't been a problem. I know you're a little goon. You do a little extra.
He's a goon, bro. We love our goon. He's our goon.
But I ain't seen him, you know, far as like getting in trouble and with the law or anything like that yet, you know. So, man, pay that man, bro. And then it's not going to be, you know, not like you're going to be paying him $20 million a year or something like that. Like, you could get that contract done. Y'all could figure out a number.
They could and they should. The only thing I'll say is we thought Trey Hendrickson was going to go, right? He got his bag from the Bengals. But initially, we thought Marcus Williams was coming back, bro. We were sure of it. He's not going to let a, 20-year-old safety, free safety with range like that leave.
Exactly.
Bye. Bye. And I know a lot of Saints fans don't want to think about it or talk about it, but it's something that I've said on this podcast dating months ago. Like, Alante Taylor was drafted for – I want CD to get paid. I want him to be a Saint. Yeah. Now, but if you ask me, am I a like 90, 80% sure that that's going to happen? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, I would cut Ruby to keep CD. You know, and I like Ruby.
Easy.
But I would cut him to keep CD.
And I guess my question is, I wonder how this Holden quote unquote ends. Like, is he just like, usually most hold ends have led to a contract extension.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, across the board, since they, you know, since players have kind of like, oh, hey, I can fucking do this and not get fined, but still kind of take my stand, blah, blah. But like, if this doesn't work, like, if he doesn't get his contract extension before the season, how does that work? Like, what happens next? I don't know, man. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't see him missing games because
no, I don't either.
That's gonna cost him money. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it just should be something they should figure out. Like, just figure that shit out. And I understand from the team's perspective, because you don't want, you know, you're scared to set a precedent, and you know, you do that, then every other player is gonna be holding in and this and that. But man, like, if you got a good player, bro, you just take care of him, and that should work itself out. Should work itself out. If a bum ass player want to try to hold in, then you know, you trade his ass or something like that. You know, you
bye.
Yeah, like, performance matters, man. You know, like, this dude has been here in and out since his rookie year, and really developed into a, you know, somewhat of, you know, an impactful player on this team. So, yeah, I would hopefully they just try to figure this out and iron it out, man. Because, like I said, it's not like this is going to be a contract that just derails the team. This is something, and then once you get that done, bro, you got Marshawn locked up for the next couple of years. You got CeeDee Deuce locked up.
You got Deebo for two more years before you even have to worry about him.
Then you got Alante, Dave, you know, Alante, you know, Taylor, just young on a rookie contract. You know what I'm saying? So you got a secondary, bro. You know, you got cornerbacks for you. You maybe next year you don't even have to look at another cornerback. You know what I mean?
And you got Marcus May for at least, what, three, four years? Like, you know.
3-4 years, you know. Like, that's good, man. Like, that's a good nucleus to have in your secondary. And, you know, so I would take advantage of that, man.
Absolutely. I absolutely would. Hopefully it happens. We'll see. I'm trying to think just rapid fire, anything else that maybe has, you know, in terms of like reading, like maybe John Hendricks reports, anyone else's reports that's just kind of popped up to you before he wrapped up. But we wanted to get this out. We wanted to get this out because shit was getting hot.
Yeah.
But anything else?
Oh man, I don't think there's anything else covered.
The Hall of Fame game's tomorrow. By the time people listen to this episode, it'll be like the Hall of Fame game will be today. It's the Jags. Jags and the shit. I can't know. I know it's the Jags.
Jags.
I got it.
Let's see.
Raiders. Jags and the Raiders.
Raiders? Okay. You know. Damn, I thought it was the Steelers. I was kind of hoping it was the Steelers. That way I could see some Kenny Pickett.
But, you know, that's happening Thursday. Saints first preseason game next week.
Next Saturday?
Yeah, next Saturday, bro. 10 days away.
Like, a long time, man. Like, what the hell?
10 days away.
I feel like we're already in the dog days of the training camp, like, where it's just, you know, Dennis Allen getting asked the same question. Like, hey, what are you going to do with Taysom?
haven't, yeah. You know what? No one's asking him about Zach Bond's role yet.
Bro, I have yet to hear a question about Zach Bond. Yet. Like, can someone ask him? Talk like, on Zach Bond. Like, speak about Zach Bond.
One quick thing I did want to mention. We've been heavy on the bring back Quan thing. Quan Alexander, linebacker, he ended up signing a 1-year deal with the Jets last week. I don't know if it's going to happen this way, but it very much seems like the Saints may are higher on Eric Wilson, former Vikings linebacker, than we are. You know, his name has kind of popped, you know. Yeah. And I wonder if maybe he could do some things similar that Quan did. But how do I word this? I think maybe part of it too is like they want to make sure that like Pete Warner knows like he's the guy and like he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. And maybe like they're like, okay, we can get a player like Eric Wilson that can do some similar things to Quan. Cause like Quan is like a domineering presence on the team.
Oh, yeah.
Like connection with DeMario, and I have no idea, right? I could just talk about my ass, but I will say that I know that Quan wouldn't have been expensive to bring back. He would have been back on pennies, and the Saints could have reported it to bring back. But I do wonder if that plays some type of little factor into it. Justin not having maybe such a domineering linebacker that also plays, but it's like you said, man, it's just like just fill the defense with dogs and just let them hunt. Just let them hunt.
Thank you. That's it.
Oh, there's one other thing. Hold on. It's going to come to me. Oh, Chris Herndon, tight end. One of those could be rewarding. I'm not getting too far ahead because he had that one season with Sam Darnold with the Jets where he looked like the next coming like of a tight end, bro. He was like, oh, this dude about to be a star in the league. And then after that one season, and obviously you can bring some of that on Sam Darnold, he got traded to the Vikings like before the season started or during preseason last year, and then he played for the Vikings, and I don't remember him doing much with the Vikings. He has a big, long history of not being healthy, but it's a nice little, very completely low risk, but potentially could be high reward if anything comes of it.
No, that's a nice August signing, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Nice August. And, you know, I mean, it, I guess maybe does tell you a little something about Crawl and his injury. So they wanted to bring somebody in to kind of fill that role. So, we need it, man. Like, bring them all the tight ends. Bring them all.
So it's interesting because I saw it more of – I wonder if Taysom's hurt more than –
And Taysom. It was Crawl and Taysom being out right now. That Taysom shit was weird because
weird,
it was
man.
Like a rib. It was like a rib injury or something. You know those ribs, weird, man. It could be like 6 weeks, you know? So
yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. Not making anything of it, but just interesting to me that you know they have him signed. But we'll for sure be back. So today's what, Wednesday night? Unless something like drastic happens. Now and over the weekend, we'll be back on Monday to do our third training camp update show. But if we have to do an emergency podcast, we'll do it, of course. But we'll be back on Monday for sure. And then at that point, it's leading up to the first live stream, bro. Like, you know, gonna have my NFL Plus on the TV in the bedroom, get my camera situated right and everything, and we're gonna cut up on next Saturday and kind of watch and see like how the team's looking, even if it looks very vanilla. And probably by like middle of the second quarter, we're gonna be like, all right, this game needs to fucking end now.
Most likely, that's how it plays out, bro.
Especially the first piece of the game, bro.
Like, yeah, I'm usually over it by like the half. I'm like, okay,
over it, bro. I'm good. Over it. But I have my eye on some players I want to see. I want to see Justin Evans. I still think, even with Honey Badger returning, I still think his roster spot is in pin already. I could be wrong. He may get cut and might not make the 53, but I still think his roster spot is pretty secure. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. Anyway, with that, we're going to get out of here. Thank everyone for your guys' support. Really appreciate it. Obviously, with the season kicking up and starting off, you're going to get more content from us, more shows multiple times a week. We're going to start trying to actually do more video shows to put them on our YouTube. And just really, like Ryan and I have said, just really grow this thing to a high level where we have a great, great community. And then we have an announcement that we're holding off on, but we're ready to talk about like the week before the season starts and everything, that we're ready to kind of like get going and let our listeners really have at it. But keeping that all under wraps, if you're in the Discord, you already know what we're talking about. But if you're not, missing out on little tidbits like that. But we really appreciate all the support, especially with the season kicking in and starting off. If you listen to this podcast, you enjoy the podcast, please, please, please retweet it on Twitter. Put it in your stories on Instagram. If you found us for the Facebook page, share it. Just get it out there. We're trying to get as many listeners to just join this community as we can, because football is around the corner and we want the ball to really get rolling. So yeah. Anything else you want to add?
Nah, man, let's go.
It's soon. It's begun. So with that, we're out of here. Wow.
Peace.